All right, let's get going again. So I left off. Here we go. Salvation been provided for all men. God would not have that one man perish, but that would all come to the truth, the whole truth, the full truth, right? Of everything that he has to offer. This hidden mystery, growing up in this, being a part of this company, this message, this truth, in all the grand scheme of things, is not very old. Yeah. It's not. That truth, I mean, and you need to think about this. I've done studies before that are really, really, really amazing, with especially the seven ages, right? And even going through with the seven churches, how they define those ages. And understanding that everything God had in the depth of all this was meant for us. We're talking, in the grand scheme of things, a minuscule amount of time for people to go through this. I mean, we're but a vapor, right? A breath. It's crazy to go through all this. Write down Luke 13:32. The perfection, and when we were talking in Hebrews verse 10, the perfection that Jesus was talking about through the sufferings, we'll get into as much as we can, going through this about the perfection of the saints and how that has to do with this and this hidden mystery part of it. In Luke 13:32, and he said unto them, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I shall be perfected." The verses that we were talking about in Hebrews there have everything to do with the two mysteries, have everything to do with those two mysteries hidden within. Do you know that if, and we know this not only scripturally but everything, but if you were to see Jesus right now, it probably wouldn't affect your faith one bit. How many times have people said over the years, if I could just see it, if I could just touch it? Well, we had people that did, and knew people that did, and it didn't seem to affect them. If there's any proof, and I say this, and I'm going to probably say this every time I ever come to this, if there's anything that we better learn from Israel, that we better not murmur, better not complain, better not say that we don't, that can't be true. Because if all you have to do to get away from having the promises of God is just don't want them. Murmur a little bit. Nuts. Write down Colossians chapter 1, 25 to 26. This is where we start talking about us and the fulfillment of us as saints. Whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. How about that? Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. How about that? You fulfill the word of God. Now, just think about this for a second. Everything was designed for this event. Everything was designed for this event. We're talking minuscule amount of time, vapor. We're talking about this single breath that we are. Eternity was designed for this event. Now I feel like the sand is, there's more sand in the sea than I even knew. How could that be? I'm going to tell you, because God can be. Because God can do that. Because God designed it that way. And then God knew that from that sleeping thing, that one rib coming out would fall in love, be in love with his son. And that, hallelujah, brother. And that person would have earned that place next to him. And when I say earned it, I mean, fell in love, from faith, fell in love with that, to be a part of something that has been designed for eternity. And it could happen today. It's, I mean, I really want you to try and wrap your head around this, because, I mean, just wrapping your head around the fact that you're plugged into a life that has always existed is one thing. That means you have always existed. I mean, to put all of this together, hanging every star, I mean, where in the world, well, I can't even say the world, where in the universe does everything sustain itself for us? There's no other planet, I can tell you that. I mean, you're not going to go to Jupiter and get this word. You're not going to go to any other place like this. You're not going to, I was going to joke with Jesse. I was coming down, I saw that Reformed Church thing on the left. I was going to pull in there and say, where are you guys at? I didn't do it, though. There was too many witnesses. But I'm going to tell you, I was just talking to Martha, who was saved in Mexico, comes up here. I'm going to tell you something. You have your heart set on God, and you will be led directly to this truth. Then you get to make a choice. Do I want it or not? It's nuts. And to think, to fulfill the word of God. And then, oh wait, I don't know, I'll get ahead of myself. I'll get to it, maybe. Paul was especially equipped, commissioned, and sent forth as the apostle of the church to bring forth a distinct message to the body of Christ. This is, if you break this scripture down, a lot of times what I'll do, I always say this. You have to kind of put yourself in scripture. What did it look like? What did it sound like? And you always know the thing, who's talking, who are they talking about? But if you really try and put yourself in that scripture and see this, this is what he said. That to bring forth a distinct message to the body of Christ, this message has been hidden throughout all ages. Simply put, it's been hidden, and now Paul was set here to give it to you. Wow. Again, we are so blessed to live in this age. Brother Webb, you agree? Yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you. It's the purpose, privilege, and provision that he's given every one of us is right here. It's all here. And there was no need to have the Laodicean book put in there, because we know there was one because it says it. We know that there were other writings. But it's not needed. It's all here. It's not. It's just for us to keep growing. Just for us to get to this point. According to the dispensation of God. I'm going to try to slow down, Martha. I'm sorry. I get excited. And maybe if I didn't walk around all the time, I don't know. According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Paul, right? This entire church age was given to him. Peter sits there in 2 Peter and says that he speaks of stuff that's hard to be understood. He sat with Jesus. He talked to Jesus. He supped with him. You name it. He did it all with Jesus. But then it's hard to be understood. Now we get that there's a place for Peter. That there's apostles, the apostle to the Jew, and the apostle to the church. But really, after all that time, and Paul, and you think Paul didn't try and tell him? Think about that. He speaks of things that are hard to be understood. That means Paul was talking to him. He's doing the same thing to us. Paul's talking to us, right? I mean, literally went through his life in nothing but suffering. All of the things he went through. I love it when he reads his resume, shipwrecked and all this going on and on. And I don't really want to be shipwrecked. But if it got me there, I'd take it, right? To fulfill the word of God, this bucket we've been talking about, all of this stuff is from the promises of God himself. By design, if we think for 1 second he didn't know that we were going to be sitting here, we are not given enough credit. If we don't think that he sees the way it ends in your life, amen, we're not giving him enough credit. Amen. He sees this stuff. He knows it. He knew, just like we were just talking, your heart brought you to Living Waters from Mexico. A couple other churches, all of us, every single one of them, to a truth that exists that nobody knows. Now think about this. We go back to that mystery of Israel's blindness. How much of the church is blind? How much of the church is deaf? How much of the church just doesn't care? Everybody thinks, I can tell you right now, 99% of the churches out there are perfecting this. Yeah. Look holy, be holy, and you will be there. No. I'm going to tell you this thing is dying. It's dead to God already. But inside of us, there's a light that burns, a treasure, a true, real treasure inside of us that is growing into an inferno fire that God can't wait to see. I love the clay pot thing with it, seeing the lights. Can you imagine that, and smashing that thing, and then all the light comes out? Anybody don't think of this back there in the day, all those Jews, I wonder what that means. But look at us, a treasure within a clay pot. That's going to be smashed to pieces, right? Or broken up. I wrote this down. I said, Paul received a revelation of the eternal counsel and purposes of God concerning the heavenly company. Okay, now this is the thing I'll tell you about these scriptures. If we go back through this, it's funny. When you read the word mystery in the gospel, it's probably a good idea to go back and reread that. When you see apprehension, modal verbs, right? Words that contain a possibility of attainment. It's probably a good idea to back up and read these again. And when I say the scriptures like this, it's not that, because there's been so many mistakes in history of people trying to rewrite this thing or make it easier to read and all this stuff. But if you really stop and think about what he said simply, he says, secrets that have never been known before, but which are necessary to complete the word of God and fulfill the scripture, that all things will be made by him and for him. It's Colossians 1, 16 and 17. But think about what he says. If you really take it simple, okay, mystery can be figured out. I mean, I used to talk about this all the time. I mean, every one of these lights is on right now, but they're not all the same brightness. There's mysteries that we can solve all over the place, and there's mysteries that God told us in that definition that are to those who are illuminated by his spirit, he will make known at his own divine time. That's today. It's the days that we get into scripture. It's the days that we talk about all this stuff. So this is what it is. But these things are necessary to complete the word of God and fulfill the word of God, fulfill the scripture. All things were made by him and for him. Because we get by him, let there be light. Through him, right? But where the church, whenever someone reads this, and I'm talking about Christianity as a whole, nobody ever really questions for him. For him. Now we go back to say that whole thing. All eternity, this has all been designed for the culmination of one event. One event. That Jesus Christ would be married. And really, he gave us so many types and shadows. He gave us so much just in the natural that you would think even in the natural mind, it would only be logical that this is what it's supposed to be. But that natural mind can't comprehend it. It's foolishness to them. Foolishness to them. That you would see, marry Jesus? What? And people look at it. I mean, I've seen it. But you know what? Those same people, they don't get in that. They're not worried about that. The riches of God are within those pages. And we're looking for lotteries. It's crazy. We too can receive this revelation. Why else would God have made Paul a minister of the dispensation of grace? It's grace. All of it, right? It was for all of us that have existed in it, so that we can understand the manifold wisdom and plan of God. And we've talked about the manifold wisdom of God before. It's fold after fold after fold after fold. How deep is it? It's going to take him. He says it's going to take all the exceeding ages for even tell us about it. I can't wait. I mean, think about this. Ages for the ages to come. I mean, how far? And then how far does that grace extend? I'm going to say like eternity. There's probably no end, right? How far did it go before? Probably no beginning. That all of this grace that God had for one event. The mysteries of the exalted destiny of the church, that out of this age a body would be created for Christ, and out of that body a bride would be taken. So it's like we were talking with Adam and Eve. Lays Adam out, the whole body. But out of that body taken a bride. One rib. One single rib. Out of that whole thing. I like this. This was said by Martha Kilpatrick. To be in his bride is a reward, not a gift. A position earned by purity and surrender. By great cost and earnest pursuit. Earnest pursuit. A desire and a want to do this. I mean, if I think about this, and I can't wait, it's because I know in so many of our cases that spiritual mind, that love has grown even beyond, way beyond where I'm at. But to think about how much you want to see your love be enthroned. To see your love up there. I cannot just to think about how much you love and care and want for him. That now it truly becomes, I just want it for him. I need to thank God to be a part of it. Just to thank God to be a part of it, right? Think of all the prophets that prayed and prayed over the ages to know and understand the mysteries of creation of God's will. Every one of them. Every single one of them. You can't show me one of those guys that prophesied for him, that was a prophet for him, that didn't want him. I mean, they were weeping ones. Look at Daniel when he saw the heavens. He knew there was more, but what'd they say? It's not that time. And not your place. Look at in the Laodicean age. Think about this. We have every comfort we could want. And you know what scripture says? And now we have no need of him. It's nice and cool in here. The lights are on in here. We have a great breakfast, a great lunch. All of the things that we need, chairs to sit in. There's vehicles to take us all over the place, things to fly us all over the place. But out of all that, a small remnant, faithful remnant, still wants him. Amen. Above all. Amen. Above all. I wrote here, there is a hope in this revelation that is uniquely its own. So think about this. When I say this, there's a hope of glory, right? In this revelation, in this mystery that is uniquely its own. Because there's nothing else like it. Zero. He could put all of the, I mean, he gave us marriage. Obviously, marriage is quite important to God. But he gave us all of this for us to see, for us to understand. And everything that he's doing, there's one hope in it. His son. Nuts. It's the pinnacle stone of that which is being built on the foundation, which is Christ himself. It all started with him. He's the rock. He's the stone, right? All this getting built up and go through this time, which to us, I mean, to us, 2,000 some years is quite a while. To him, nothing. I love it that we were just a vapor. This is written by Brother Copley. It is far beyond our finite minds to comprehend, or the deepest depths of our heart to fathom, the infinite riches of glory into which we are invited to enter by this revelation. We are being offered to come to his glory, the vast wealth of Christ's life, his wisdom, righteousness, power, and holiness, which may be reproduced in those who submit to him. This is what God's doing. Those who trust in him and those who let him have his way with them. All the fullness of God that can be found in you. All of it. Because it's Christ in us. And all that fullness is there. All the fullness of God. He means it. I really tried to write this out. I hope it makes sense here in a second. He put all of that in there because that's what had to happen for him to have true dominion in it. He had to put and make an equal. I'm telling you.
Praise God.
I don't even know where to go with that because there's no way to explain the depth of that. It blows me away. But I'm going to read that first part. It is far beyond our finite minds to comprehend or the deepest depths of our hearts to fathom the infinite riches of glory into which we are invited. We read in the mystery of God's will that it is his will that we should come to this knowledge and attainment in his inheritance. We read it, right? God would have us all be saved and come to the truth, the full truth, right? Right there in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Now listen, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to the working which worketh in me mightily. What do you suppose the warning is? We know that our salvation is eternal. We cannot lose it. He can't deny himself. It's his life. We know it's perfect because it's his life, right? We know that our salvation is a gift of God. He's not going to take it back. We know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He's not leaving us. So what's the warning? This is what I wrote. It is that our inheritance is from our faith, our walk, our desire, and our endurance with him. The warning is that we will suffer loss in our inheritance if we do not submit to him. Think about this. All he's asking, and I'm going to tell you, submitting is a hard thing to do. We think it's easy to do, but not 100% of the time. I'll submit Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays if I go. But you know what? It's a life. It's a culture. It's a class. I don't even know what you want to say. It's a choice. And I just want that light to grow and grow and grow and grow in me. He taught in all wisdom, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the divine purpose was to present every man perfect, full grown in Christ. That's what Paul taught to the very measure of the stature of the man, Christ Jesus. Whew. I can't even figure out how big his hand's going to be to hold, because it's going to be incredible. The things that Paul writes may apprehend, could, would, all these things show possibility of attainment. And it's throughout his writing, throughout. I mean, and why don't people question what? Obtain what? Finish what? Be what? You know why? Because everyone's on a race to read from the beginning to the end of the Bible, and that's all they're going to say. My mom told me, she said, I've read the Bible like 10 times. I haven't even done it from cover to cover yet. I've been all over it. I've been in this book, but never have I started from the beginning and tried to go to the end. Because I would always fall asleep in Job anyway, so. Oh my God, what's going on in this book? Perfect seems like such an unobtainable thing. I wrote this down. It is in the natural state that we were born into the first time. Because it is not possible to perfect this, right? In the spiritual state that we were born again into, It is not unobtainable. It's obtainable. And you can have it. This spiritual body, this spiritual life in us just needs to grow in it. This life cannot sin. It's 1 John 3:9. Cannot sin. Why? Because it's him. There's no sin in him. Galatians 2:20. It's not I live, but Christ that lives in me, right? This is why it's a relationship and not a choice. If you had to choose, well, do you want to reign with Christ? Yeah. It's not just a choice. It's a life. It's his life. Thank God we are his workmanship and not our own. So we'd all be a mess. I'd be in a long, big mess. But we are his workmanship. He's the one polishing. He's the one that's taking the tarnish off that silver goblet. It's amazing to me that I'm gonna just like this chair. I'm not gonna stand on it because I'll probably fall on you. But think about this. It's the same thing. When that word says it, we stand on it.
Amen.
I'm his workmanship.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. His workmanship. This is why understanding the mysteries is so important to attaining to this perfection, to finishing this course, to finishing this race. We can't be good with just saying, well, I'm not sure. Just ask him to show us. I mean, I can't even think of all the times I was like, in scripture over the years, you know, when you're thinking back that, I'll go way, way, way back. So I remember one time, I can't remember what the scripture was now, it was Philippians or something. You know what I did? I bet I was like 20. I went and got all the little books I could find on that scripture. And went through them to see, you know what I was doing? I was going to form an opinion. Because that's what we do when we're stupid and young. We go through and we say, well, I'm going to go look through here and see who has the best solution. You know what I did? I sat there with God. And this is how good God's always been to me. I just asked him, I said, why don't you just show me and tell me? And he did, just like that. That fast. And never again have I ever picked up an op-ed or opinion thing or a book or somebody. I don't care. My father wrote a book and I'm going to stand on it. These guys, and it's because it's all there. There's nothing outside of this thing that I need. I mean, Jesus, it says he's the Word. So it's him, right? We start to grow by leaps and bounds when we open our heart to his will. That's my point. You can pick up all these things and read all this stuff and all these. And this one I was like, when you look at whoever wrote it, it says doctor or something. You know, or something, PhD. In what? Where'd I go at? Oh, good. Man, I'm going to do good. I put this down, and we will study this in all of these mysteries. Let me put it this way. And all of these mysteries, because that didn't make sense. And all of these mysteries, and everything that he put for us, we're going to take ourselves and we want to get deep into it. We want to dive in and we want to know and we want to understand you. Why? Because Revelation 19:7 says, we have made ourselves ready. How? His word. I mean, the simplicity that's in Christ just blows me away. Because I'm telling you right now, this is exactly, how many words? You can never say, like I said before, you can never say it's because of a lack of simple direction. Because he's guiding us. You know why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does.
Amen.
Big old thing, a cloud and flame marching across the desert with these guys, and they couldn't follow it. You know where it was going? Straight to where we want to be. It's going straight to the promised land. They weren't taking detours. They weren't doing anything else. They were going straight there. The manna from heaven. I mean, seriously, when I say that, if you saw him today, or if you saw all these miracles and stuff, it would not gain one lick of faith with you. Thank you, Jesus. Because, but, I think that a lot of times, too, by not seeing it, right? We know what Scripture says about this. We believe and know this, but when people would look at him, they saw him on the shore. They saw him in the boat. They saw him on the cross. They saw him. They ate with him, drank with him, walked with him, did all of these things. How many times did they question the stars? Or literally the sand? Or any of this? Or wonder if it was? I mean, our question today, obviously they didn't have Paul and didn't have a lot of the information that we have that we could ask Jesus. But they didn't go outside of anything that wasn't only for their own benefit. They thought, I mean, I just when those guys sat with them, well, when's the kingdom going to come? And who's going to be the most important there? Not you. It blows me away. If we realize that it's about him, not about us, it's about that eternal life, not about this life, this dead one, it's about his body, not about ours. I wrote that in my old list. If we can submit our life to the edification and building of his body, the edification and building of his body, what do I mean? We support each other. We talk about this. We love about this. We grow about this. We do it's the studies. It's the fellowship. It's the love. It's all this. I mean, I can tell you right now, the sweetest love I ever feel in my whole life is here. From everyone that would come up and hug me, that we talk and we share because it's true, pure Jesus love. Amen. That's incredible. Amen. That's incredible to me. I mean, it's because you think about this, it doesn't really exist anywhere else. I can say it's for sure not in Albuquerque because, man, that place is getting crazy. They had a thing yesterday. The kids just started school yesterday, and the second day of school, they pulled a gun off a kid. Come on. These guys, it's crazy how blessed these kids out here, they're out there in their activities and their classes and all that stuff right now, to grow in this truth, to have it available. Wow. And hope it takes root so deep that there's not a storm that can blow them off that path. I pray that all the time. We become, if we can bring love out first in our life, right? We become fitted for glory with him. Fitted to inherit the riches of the glory, which are the inheritance of Christ himself. We will jointly reign with him as equal upon the throne of glory. So I wrote this down. That doesn't make sense. This is the hidden mystery. That God longed to give his son an intelligent companion. A responsive partner. A helpmeet of joy to reign with him over the entire universe. A love that grew for him, not one that was created. Because I'm going to tell you something. He could have just put Adam here, put Eve there and says, she will love you and do whatever you want. He could have just made her a created being and she would have almost robotically obeyed him, loved him and done. But he didn't do that. He gave you a choice. Choose to love him and get closer to him and be a part of this, right? And that's our desire. That's separation. That's separation. That's separation from everything. Do I want to see? Yeah. I want to see. I want it to be so bright that I can't see. I want it to be so loud that they can't help but hear it. Because that's what God, that's what he planned for. A separation of us. I said, a love that grew for him. Oh, what is it? A love that from faith in him. One that became so intimate with him that it could no longer survive without him. Think about that. And I'm talking about this, almost the first thing that came to my mind too was about this, a love that can no longer survive without him. This is totally true because he's the life in us. He's the love in us. He's the faith in us. He's the growth in us. He's all of it. How smart was God to do that? I mean, think about this. I mean, because obviously we couldn't do it alone. Adam was perfect in the beginning. But it's just been downhill ever since. Now, he takes a life and puts it in us that cannot be corrupted. She must be his equal. She must be his equal, having dominion even as he. Think about this now. This is the plan. She must be his equal. God put all the fullness of God to be found in man through him, having dominion even as he, for he cannot reign without her. I remember this. We talked about this. Just this is something we talked about years ago. You guys have talked about this. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 2, Adonijah asks Bathsheba, can you go to Solomon and ask him for Abishag? Number one, maybe Bathsheba said, maybe that's not a good idea. But she did. You know what he said? Would he have the kingdom also? We've talked about this, and this is a speculative. Who was Abishag? Shunammite. Telling you, it just only makes sense. She was the object of the Song of Solomon. How beautiful. And how much did he mean it when he said that? Are you kidding me? I mean, Mom, you came here and asked me what? That didn't go well for him after that. I put here, God showed grace to all that believe and showed even more grace to the faithful and obedient. The mystery is that God seeks us, and we don't always seek him. Think about that. His grace covered believers like the thief on the cross, the deathbed conversion. That's grace. Because there's a reason he was on that cross. And his little two buddies there next to him. You know, these guys, I'm going to tell you something. These guys, punishment was real to them people. I mean, today you just get slapped on the hand. Please don't ever do this again. But those guys didn't mess around with you. But for God's grace, it's true proof that he's not looking at you perfecting this. Is that that life was born in that guy right then and could not be extinguished, right? His grace provides inheritance to those that seek him back. I put this down, but this is something I always thought for the longest time. I've never read, it doesn't say it in scripture, but I can feel it. I put it in here, I said, I think of it like this. At the marriage of the Lamb, in the end, God sits there and tells him, I said, what did I tell you? Perfect love from faith. How incredible is it that he had have a plan that would create love for his son from the ashes that this stuff is. Whew. Isn't that crazy? Pure and perfect. Amen. I don't know what time it is. Good? Oh, that's not bad. Huh? I'll tell you, I'm going to just say a couple things. The blessing then is his grace, right? And what he does and what he offers and what he's doing through all of this is simple grace and simple grace and simple grace. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Manifold grace. Everything through this. And as you start to see this, if we start to understand this and as we get to more intimate with this truth and see what he's doing, I really want to go. Think about that all eternity was designed for the culmination of this thing. One event. And you're invited. Yeah. Invited to be a part of it. And you're his workmanship. And you trust. And I'm telling you, that scripture, you stand on it. Amen. All right. Love you tomorrow. We're going to back up tomorrow and work on the 7 days of creation again because we didn't finish last year. Recap it and then finish the part of that study. So it'll probably take that. So, all right. Amen. What time is lunch? 11:30?